Did you know that the God who created the universe wants to talk with you? And not just once, but every day. Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, Rick Warren begins his life-changing series called Hearing the Voice of God, where he reveals how you can tune into God's voice, build a real friendship with Him, and discover His direction for your life, loud and clear. All right, I can't wait to get started, so here's Rick with part one of a message called God Wants to Talk with You.
One of the basic tenets of Scripture is that God has revealed Himself, that God has made Himself known to us, that God speaks. All through the Bible, we see this phrase, and God said, and God said this, and God said that, and God said this, and God said that. God speaks. And you were created to have a relationship with God. God made you to love you, and He wants you to know Him as well as He knows you. Now, in order to know God, in order to have a relationship, you got to talk to Him, and He's got to talk to you. You've got to have a communication. Without communication, there is no relationship. Now, the problem is communication can be easily misunderstood. Would you agree with that? I mean, with people, much less God. You know, when Kay speaks to me, A, I don't always hear, and B, even when I do hear, I don't always understand. Now, we've been married 35 years. It gets better, but I still don't always hear, and I still don't always understand. Those of you guys who are newlyweds, let me give advice to some of you men. Guys, you need to understand that there are two things you must understand about women, but nobody knows what they are. So you're going to be in the dark the rest of your life. Now, I deeply love my wife, deeply, but I don't always hear her, and I don't always understand her, even when I do hear her. And so certainly, I should expect that in my relationship to God. However, I will tell you this, it gets easier. It really does. It gets easier over time. You know, after 35 years of marriage, when my wife calls, she doesn't have to say, "This is Kay." I know her voice. She knows my voice. And now after walking with God for a long, long time, for over 40 years, I want you to know, I know His voice. And it's easier to figure out now when it's just me talking to myself or I've got an idea off of a radio or when it's really God. It does get easier, just like in a marriage. I know my wife's voice and she knows my voice. And, you know, when the devil gives you an idea, we call that temptation. When God gives you an idea, we call that inspiration. When you get an idea, we call that stupidity. No, I'm just kidding. But people say, has God ever talked to you audibly? No. Why would He need to? He doesn't need to go through my ear. He can go directly to my mind. It's just like right now there are radio waves and there are TV waves going through this air that are there. They are real. You can't see them. There are actually pictures going through the air right now. You can't see it. That doesn't mean it's not real. It's real. But if you have a tuner, a radio, or a TV, and you tune in, you can get the message and you can see the picture. And the key is tuning in. You got to know how to tune in. And this weekend, we're going to look at how do you tune in to hear God speak to you. I can have the finest Bose radio, but if it's not tuned into the channel, I'm still not going to hear the radio program, no matter how good the equipment is. Most of you don't remember this because you're not that old, but back in the 70s, there was a thing called the CB radio craze. And first truckers had these CB radios, citizen band radios, in their car, and then people started putting them in their car, and there was a whole lingo about it, and they made a bunch of movies about it, and there were phrases like, put your pedal to the metal, and 10-4, good buddy, and one of the phrases of the CB craze was, have you got your ears on? And that meant is, are you tuned in? Are you listening? Well, that's not actually a new concept. 2,000 years before the CB radio craze, Jesus said something like that. Notice there on your outline, if you take out your message notes, in Luke chapter 8, It says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And what's he saying? He's saying, you got to be tuned in. And today we're going to look at a famous story that Jesus told that mentions how to tune into God, teaches us how to tune into God and hear God speak to us. But before we do that, I want to just quickly give you three reasons why this is important. Would you write these down? You may think, well, it's not important for me to hear from God. Oh, yes, it is. Because number one, it proves I'm in God's family. It proves I'm in God's family. It verifies that you're a believer. It confirms your relationship to God. If you don't have any communication with God, you don't have a relationship with God. You got to have communication in order to have a relationship. You talk to him and he talks to you. I mean, this is the difference between having a relationship and knowing about somebody. I could say, I know Tom Cruise. Now, I don't really know him, but I could say, I know Tom Cruise. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I write him all the time. Does he write you back? No. I call him all the time. Does he call you back? No. Have you ever talked to him? No. Then you don't really have a relationship. You're just a fan. Okay, you're just a fan. And a lot of people are fans of God, but they don't have a relationship with God. God wants you to be able to communicate. So if you never hear from God in your life, you have every reason to doubt that you have a relationship with him. Because if you got a relationship, you communicate with each other on a daily basis. It proves I'm in God's family. Second thing, it protects me from mistakes. It protects me from mistakes. Now, here's a cool thing. If you actually do listen to God on a daily basis, you'll find that he's going to warn you some potholes, some traps, some bends in the road, and you'll save yourself a lot of time and energy and frustration and failure if you do it God's way. He will warn you in advance of traps. Look what the Bible says. Proverbs 3, verse 6. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. I couldn't count the number of times that God has spared me from a failure, a mistake, or a major embarrassment when I just got that little word. And sometimes God only says one word to me, don't. And that's all he needs to say, don't, or no. Sometimes it's too, watch out. Sometimes God will save you the time and the money and the energy of making going down the wrong path if you will listen to him. That's the third thing. Not only protects me from mistakes, it produces success in life. Now, I'm not talking about the way the world defines success, if everybody's supposed to be a millionaire and nothing goes wrong in your life. That's not success. Success is being exactly what God made you to be. It's the fulfillment. It's the meaning and purpose of living in the center of God's will. In Psalm 32, the Bible says this, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Now, I want you to circle the phrase, your life. I will guide you, God says, he promises, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Notice it's for your life. Did you know that there's a best pathway for your life, but there's a different pathway for everybody else's life? And the reason why we often get in trouble is we're trying to follow other people's pathways. Most people start off as originals, and everybody starts off as original, but most of them end up as carbon copies of somebody else. Because we start trying to go down somebody else's path. If you listen to God, you know you have a relationship with him. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. You know that he's going to protect you from mistakes, and you know you're going to be on the right path. You're going to make fewer errors, and you're going to have more success in life because you're being on the path that was meant for you to be on. Now, how do I hear God speak? Well, in Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells a very famous story. It's called the story of the four soils, or the parable of the seed and the soils. And he gives an illustration that everybody would understand in those days, the illustration of a farmer. He says, a farmer goes out to sow seed. Now, when a farmer goes out to plant seed, they didn't have planting machines in those days, and he certainly didn't plant it one seed at a time and cover it up like that. That would take too long to plant one seed at a time in a field. Would take way too long. So farmers in the ancient world, and still today, they do it in rural areas without machines, they broadcast seed. They've got a bag of seed, and as they walk down the pathway through the field, they throw the seed out. This is called broadcasting. It's where we get the word T TV broadcasting is because it's broadly casting the seed. It's not narrow casting one seed at a time. You're broadcasting the seed on the whole field. Now, some of that seed falls on rocky soil. Some of it falls on the footpath. Some of it falls where there's weeds. Some of it actually falls on the soil that's been cultivated and ready for growth. And Jesus says, these four kinds of soil represent four kinds of attitudes that I can have. And these attitudes are going to determine whether I actually hear God in my life or don't. So this is a very important story. And he says, depending on the type of soil, you get four types of response when God speaks. God is talking to you all the time. All the time. You're just not tuned into it. And you're not on the same channel. Now, the Bible says in this story that the farmer represents God and the seed represents what God wants to say to you. It's his word. And the soil represents my heart or my mind. It's my attitude and how receptive I am to hearing God. Now, he says in this story, there are four things that if I want to hear God speak, I have to do. You might write these down. Number one, if I want to hear God speak to me, first, I must cultivate an open mind. I must cultivate an open mind. I've got to be receptive. I've got to be willing to hear from God. I've got to be ready and eager and willing to listen. Because the first barrier to hearing God is actually resistance. I'm just resistant to it. Now, Jesus talks about this in verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And as it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Now, what's he talking about here? Well, on a farm and in a field, there are footpaths between the rows where the vegetables are going to grow. And there's a footpath that the farmer can walk down. As the farmer walks on this footpath time after time after time, that soil gets pushed down. It gets compacted. And it gets hardened by a lot of traffic going through. And like a lot of minds, you got a lot of traffic going through your mind's going to get hardened. It gets pushed down. And he says, when he broadcasts his seed, some of the seed falls on the hardened path, And he says, any seed scattered there has no chance of taking root because the ground is hard. The seed can't penetrate. It lies on the surface. In fact, he says, the birds come along and they see the seed and they just eat it up before it even has a chance to sprout. And he says, this life is for the birds. You know, when you can't hear God, this life is for the birds. He said, it's never going to take root in your life. And he's saying, the first thing you do is you have to be receptive. You have to cultivate an open mind. Now, Jesus gives us the meaning in verse 12 of what he's saying. Those along the footpath, he said, they're the ones, they represent the ones who hear God speak. But then the devil comes along and takes the word from their heart so they cannot believe and be saved. Now, what's he saying here? What does the footpath represent? Well, it represents the first kind of mind I can have. And a footpath has two characteristics. It's hardened and it's narrow. Do you know any minds like that? They're hardened and they're narrow. They're narrow-minded and they're hard-headed and they won't even be open to the possibility. They don't even believe it's possible that God could talk to them. Well, no wonder he never does, because they're hard-headed and narrow-minded like the footpath. You've noticed that the quality of reception on a cell phone varies widely. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And the same is true with you. There's a spiritual principle there. You must be positioned correctly in order to hear the message. There's some places you can be, you're not going to hear God speak. But you've got to be positioned correctly so that you can say, can you hear me now? And you have to be in the right receptive area, in the right receptive mood. The point is, sometimes we never even give God a chance to talk to us. Our minds are made up. We don't want God to talk to us because we, frankly, don't want his input. We've made up our minds. We want to do what we want to do, not what God wants us to do. And so our hearts are hardened. We're unwilling to listen. Now, write this down. The hardened soil represents a closed mind. The hardened soil represents a closed mind. In other words, I don't even believe that God does talk to people. And I don't believe God would ever talk to me. Well, of course he's not going to talk to you if that's what you believe. Now, what causes a closed mind? I mean, really, what causes people to not hear God? There are three mental barriers. You might write these down. Number one is pride. If I'm prideful and I don't think I need God in my life, he's not going to talk to me. He said, I can handle this myself. I can figure it out myself. So I'm not even listening. I'm not even open to the possibility that God might want to say something to me. I don't need his help, so I don't pray and I don't listen. Pride. Number two is fear. Fear is a mental block. A lot of people can't hear God speak because they're afraid to hear God speak. They think, you know, if God spoke to me, put a thought in my mind, then I actually listened to it, maybe he'd turn me into some kind of religious nut. No, he wants to set you free. The more you know God, the more natural you become, not the more silly, quirky, weird you become. The more you know God, the more natural you become. You become what God made you to be. Pride will close my mind. Fear will close my mind. And here's the third one, bitterness. When I am holding on to a hurt, when I'm holding on to resentment, when I'm holding on to a grudge, then I'm not going to be listening to God because my heart is hardened. Things have happened in your life that have hurt you. I'm sorry. But if you're holding on to hurt, whenever you hold on to hurt, here's what happens. Your heart grows hard and it grows cold. And you become defensive, even defensive to God's love. Why did God allow this to happen? And you get very defensive and you close your mind and you close your heart. Some of you have been hurt very badly this week. Some of you were hurt badly years and years ago, but you're still holding on to it. And I want to tell you, as your pastor, who loves you and who cares for you and wants what's best for you, you got to let it go. Not for their sake, but for your sake. The resentment is killing you. You're not hurting the person who you're resentful against, who you're holding a grudge against. You're not hurting them at all. You are hurting yourself. It is a self-inflicted wound. And you're allowing people from your past to continue to hurt you today. That's dumb. You need to let it go. Not because they deserve it. You don't deserve to be forgiven all for all the stuff you've done. You need to let it go because you can't get on with your life. When you forgive somebody, you're the one who's liberated, not them. You're the one who's liberated. And if you hold on to it, your heart gets harder and harder and harder, and you got the hard closed mind and the hard heart. Bitter life is a wasted life. As Jesus said, the birds come along and eat the seed. It's for the birds. Here's the smart response. James chapter 1 says this. Get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. That means maybe you ought to turn off the TV. Maybe there's some stuff you shouldn't be watching or reading. Get rid of the filth and evil in your lives because that's going to trample it down, make your hard heart. And humbly accept the message God has planted. There's that word planted in your hearts. For it is strong enough to save your soul. Circle the phrase humbly accept. This is the key. I say, Lord, I tried to figure it out on my own, but I kept hitting a wall. I don't like the way I'm going in life. I'm going with your plan, not my plan. I'm going to listen to you. I must cultivate an open mind. Number two, the second way to hear God is I must take time to listen. I cultivate an open mind. I allocate time to listen. I take time, make time to listen. I have to slow down and make time to be quiet so I can hear him. Why? Because the second barrier to you hearing from God is hurry. When you're in a hurry, you cannot hear God. You know, if I fly over the country of France, I miss all the details. If I take a train through France, I'll see a little bit more of the details. If I go even slower and drive through France in a car, I'll see a lot more details. If I actually walked France from end to end, I would see a lot more details. You miss the details of life when you're in a hurry. You are missing so much by being in a hurry. And what you need to do is you need to pull back on the RPMs. You need to slow down. And when you slow down, you're going to hear God. I've got to make time to hear him. I can't always be in a hurry. You see, when we're in a hurry, God gets shuffled. God gets shortchanged. We skim in all our relationships. We skim. I don't have time to be alone with God today. I don't have time to sit down and be quiet, read the Bible, talk to him for a minute, listen. You know, so much of the time it's like, Lord, I need you to talk. Tell me what to do, but do it in a hurry. Speak, but speak quickly. And God says, no. You got to just slow down. You got to turn down the RPMs. Luke 8, verse 6 is the second kind of soil. He says, this farmer, he's sowing seed, and he says, other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. And this seed began to grow, but it soon withered and died for lack of moisture. Now, this is the shallow soil or the rocky soil. Now, let me explain to you. In the nation of Israel, in the land of Israel, much of Israel is a very thin layer of topsoil on a top of a bedrock of limestone. So unless they break up that limestone and or put on more topsoil, the roots aren't going to go down deep. And without roots, when the heat's on, the plants die. I mean, we understand this in Southern California because during the springtime, we get all our hills turn green. Once there's water, all the hills turn green and all of the California grasses bloom and it's real pretty. You get the wildflowers and the poppies and all that kind of stuff. But the moment the rain stops, the hills turn brown in Southern California. Why? Because the grass has no roots. It can't go down deep enough to get water from the under well springs that are down deeper. And so it just, when you don't have roots, when you're shallow soil, when you have shallow soil on hard rock, it initially sprouts up great and it looks good, but it doesn't last and it withers quickly. Most plants wither when the heat's on because they don't have roots. Now, this is what Jesus says about this in verse 13. The rocky soil, or the soil with rock underneath it, it's not talking about soil with a bunch of little rocks, but soil with a bedrock. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy. But like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. They believe for a while, but they wilt when the hot winds of testing blow. Now write this down. The shallow soil represents a superficial mind. The hard soil represents a closed mind. I don't even want to hear God. The shallow soil represents a superficial mind. It's not very deep. And a lot of times we hear God's word and we get excited about it, but we don't allow it to change us. We react superficially. We react emotionally. We're moved impulsively, but we don't let the time to let it sink in.
What a fantastic message from Pastor Rick. You know, Daily Hope is changing lives every day. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Friends, your generosity is helping Daily Hope take the Word of God to people all across the globe, to people like Francois in Australia. Today, I want to share a letter that I received from her. She wrote, "Thank you for sharing God's Word with us in a way that seems real and honest and believable and funny." I'm very grateful for the Daily Hope messages. I've started reading my Bible again. I understand more as I keep reading. Misconceptions have been cleared away, and I'm seeing myself as a child of God, seeing others as God sees them, and marveling at God's amazing grace and unconditional love for all of us. Daily Hope has shown me how to trust God. You know, for some time now, I have adopted what you said, I'll do my best and God will do the rest. Your message helped me do this. Your openness about your own marriage and other situations and problems make me feel that the problems that my husband and I face are normal. I'm learning how to overcome these problems by making choices that God wants me to make. And then I forward your messages on to people that I know, hoping that they will listen to them too.
Francois, thank you for writing. It's wonderful that you're reading the Bible again. It's wonderful that Daily Hope has helped you understand what you're reading and cleared up some of those misconceptions. And I'm glad that you're committed to your marriage and that hearing a little about the struggles that Kay and I have gone through in our marriage was helpful to you. You know, we often help each other more through our weaknesses than our strengths. I absolutely love that you're forwarding the Daily Hope messages to people you know. And I hope everybody who's listening right now is going to do just like you. It's an easy way to share your faith with the people you know, because you never know who's going to be in heaven because you cared enough to share. God bless you, everybody.
You know, a great way to share the good news of Jesus is to share the Daily Hope messages with people who need to hear them. Just go to PastorRick.com. Click on the Listen tab. There you'll find buttons where you can share the message by email, social media, or WhatsApp. That's PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.